$200 billion, that paltry amount, that measly sum, that's all that we need to say in order to balance the budget by 2015. The co-chairs of the National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform, they've made their recommendations on how we can make cuts to the budget, and the committee is actually going to release its formal proposal on December 1st. All week long, we've been looking at other ideas for tough cuts. $17 billion we could save in farm subsidies, $14 billion in foreign aid, and $100 billion in military spending, perhaps. Today, we're going to look at how we could reduce the debt by something that maybe hits a little closer to home for most Americans, cuts in health care. Joining us now is Trudy Lieberman, contributing editor and healthcare blogger for the Columbia Journalism Review. Good morning, Trudy.
Good morning.
All right. So we have these recommendations that are in this Commission on Fiscal Responsibility, and there's basically two big chunks to save money. One is to reduce or eliminate the tax exemption for employer-provided health insurance. In other words, that they get a tax exemption if they pay for part of their employees' health plans. The other big savings is from actually cutting down on the costs of Medicare. So let's talk about which of these is more feasible. And let's start with the tax exemption first. First of all, I cannot imagine businesses ever allowing this to get through Congress.
Well, the tax exemption has allowed the employer-based coverage that we have in this country to flourish, and it really is the bedrock of our health insurance system. Eliminating the tax break for business certainly will cause some employers, and maybe a lot of them, to discontinue their health insurance for their workers. And this can be a good or bad thing, depending on which side of the fence you're on. From the point of view of the economists, they've been after this for a very long time. And indeed, in the health reform bill, the tax on the so-called Cadillac plans that some of your listeners may remember is a step in that direction to kind of lower the value of those plans. But this is a step further, and what it would do would mean that some people would lose their employer-based coverage. And then, ultimately, that would send them into the new insurance exchanges in 2014 that each state will set up. And that will make them responsible for their own health insurance. They will have to pay the premium without the help of their employer under penalty if they don't buy it, and then hope that the government tax subsidies will be sufficient.
So that would end up, you were talking about eliminating a tax exemption for businesses, that would end up being an extra cost for citizens.
Yes, in two ways. They would have to shoulder all of the costs. Right now, business covers a lot of the costs for its workers, not all of it anymore, but for most people, it's still a pretty good share. And they might also have to include that as taxable income. That could be a problem for some people.
All right. But the other largest health care expenditure that we have is Medicare and Medicaid. These are two programs which are very popular among the American public. And again, I would imagine there would be a lot of pushback before either of these things were cut back.
Well, I think you could see in the election the consternation among the electorate, particularly the older electorate, about cutting Medicare. And the Republicans used it very successfully in their advertising during the campaign, these $500 billion in cuts to the Medicare program. And those were not cuts to benefits for people. Those were basically provider cuts and some cuts to Medicare Advantage plans through the government subsidy to those plans. But I think the biggest thing that could hurt a lot of people is the increased cost sharing that this plan, these suggestions of the co-chairs of the Deficit Commission have put forward. And one of them is to eliminate what we call first dollar coverage on Medigap plans. And first dollar coverage means that the Medigap plan pays all the deductibles on hospital care and doctor care on Medicare, and also it covers the 20% coinsurance. And that means that on certain services, right now, the Medicare program requires seniors to pay 20% of the allowable charge for a bill. Now, that means that if they buy a policy that covers the gap, then they don't have to pay that. And what the co-chairs contemplate here is eliminating the payment of those deductibles and cost sharing on those Medigap plans, and in effect shoving the cost to the senior. And I don't think that seniors quite understand that that might be down the road for them. In fact, on two of the Medigap plans, plans F and C, that a lot of people have, there already is mandated more cost sharing under the health reform law.
You know, the Republicans and a lot of the opponents of so-called Obamacare describe the federal government taking a much bigger role in health care and that being bad. Is the net effect, if all these cuts were to go into effect, to really devolve the health care system back into the private sector? And would that be on any level a good thing?
I think ultimately there are a lot of people in Washington would like to have that happen. And I think that we can look at the Medicare Advantage plans, the drug plans under Part D, that that benefit is now provided and has been since 2006 by the private insurance industry. If you look at the other parts of Medicare, the hospital Part A and the doctor Part B, that means that the government is still providing those benefits. And I think ultimately that could change.
Trudy,
and is that a good thing? We won't have Medicare as a social program, a social insurance program anymore.
Well, Trudy, let me ask you, with all these reports that often come out about waste in the Medicare and Medicaid system, fraud in the Medicare and Medicaid system, overbilling, unnecessary procedures, aren't there other ways to cut our health care costs simply by becoming more efficient rather than cutting benefits?
Okay, Medicare is a very efficient system in an administrative sense. Its costs for administration are very low, in the 2% range. Is there fraud and waste? Yes, there is. And it's coming from the providers who are engaged in the fraud and abuse and waste in the system. And Medicare could crack down on that and indeed is trying to do that. Is it a big savings in the large scheme of things? Probably not.
Not enough to get us even close to the $200 billion we need to balance the budget, right?
Probably not.
Trudy Lieberman is a contributing editor and healthcare blogger for the Columbia Journalism Review, talking about some clearly tough decisions to be made. If you're going to reach that $200 billion number, though, some of it's going to hurt.